Welcome to the Largs NAS online worship service. We are glad that you're here with us. Whether you're a regular attender or a first-time visitor, and we invite you to worship with us. Now, you may be watching this video on YouTube, or you may be listening to the audio on a CD or online. But however you're joining us, we want to remind you that if you visit the largsnas.org website and click onto the sermons page, you'll see all the sermons and online services going on all the way back to June 9, 2019. And beside the graphic for many of them, you'll see a link that you can click that will take you to the YouTube to watch the service. And there's also a link that will allow you to download the transcript of the sermon and a link to download the listening guide, in which there are all the lyrics to the songs, the scripture readings, and the sermon notes. So you can print these out and read the scriptures and sing along with us and take your own notes during the service. You'll also find the audio link there if you just want to listen. Once again, we're glad you're here. Let's worship together.
Let's sing together.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad. This is the day.
Key change wasn't planned, if anyone wants to.
Good morning, church. Today, we begin a new sermon series called A Generous Life, The Beauty in Giving. This sermon series is not simply about being a cheerful giver in the sense of supporting the work of the church with our tithes and our offerings. It's much more than that. During the next 4 weeks, we will explore what it means to be generous, not just with our resources, but with our time, with our attitudes, and much more. The Generous Life series will take us 2 weeks into Lent, which means that Easter is right around the corner. Normally, this time of year, Nazarene churches hold their annual general meetings, their AGMs. But due to continued lockdown and with our district leaders' guidance, our church board voted to cancel the AGM this year. This will keep our current local church leadership in place for now, and we'll schedule a special AGM later in the year once we can all be together again. We're excited to tell you about a new addition to our local community. Jillian and Tom Fullerton have bought a lovely home in Largs, and they moved in just last weekend. We're so happy that they're here, and we're excited to see how God continues to work in their lives and through all that they do. The church's hospitality ministry continues to serve the community with meals and encouragement. We received another generous food donation from the Minimal Footprint Shop this week, a 16-kilo bag of flour. Now, many of you know that, especially if you've seen his beautiful bread photos on Facebook, that Pastor Steve is a fantastic baker. So he's been busy baking bread to accompany the meals that we're sharing with those who are homebound and who are shielding. He's baked banana bread, sourdough bread, and the softest, butteriest dinner rolls you have ever tasted. The 16 kilos of flour will go a really long way for us, and we're thankful for it and every donation that we receive. If you happen to be in town, stop in Minimal Footprint and let Marina know how much we appreciate her generosity. Thank you again for supporting the church and all that we do, not just through the hospitality ministry, but in all the ways that we work locally and throughout the world to share the love of Christ with others. Many of you know this, but I wanted to take a moment to just talk to you about the ways in which you can support Largs Church of the Nazarene and the Nazarene ministries globally. If you go to our website and click on the Give button at the top of the page, you'll be taken to another page where it lists the way that you can give. Many of you have standing orders direct to the church, and we are incredibly grateful to you for that. If you don't, and you'd like to set that up, our bank details are now available on the giving page. Another way is to give online by using our Tithely form. It's a really simple and safe way to donate. You can do a one-time donation, or you can check the box to set up a reoccurring contribution. The third way is by placing cash or check offering in our collection bag during a service, but since we're not meeting, you're welcome to drop your donation through the mail slot when the doors are closed. Now, if the doors are open, just knock. I'm probably there cooking. We welcome you to worship with us today. Lean in and let's spend some time together with each other and with our Lord and Savior this morning. Let's pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you have called us to be the body of Christ. Grant that by the power at work within each of us, we may exercise the ministry you've given according to the gifts you've bestowed upon your people. May we be faithful and bold, living out our lives to the glory of your Son. Amen.
Oh,
strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away.
Sing that again, when we see you.
When we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away. They're washed away.
Thessalonians 5, verses 12 through 22. But we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and have charge of you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very high in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers. Encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, church. It is so good to be with you this morning on Super Bowl Sunday. And whether you are a supporter of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Kansas City Chiefs, and or even if you don't know who either of those teams are or what the Super Bowl is, we are glad that you have taken the time and made the effort to be with us today. Now, we are beginning a new four-week sermon series today. It's called A Generous Life, The Beauty in Giving. And we will be talking about what it means to live a generous life, a life that is characterized by giving, by a willingness to share the blessings that God has provided to each of us with others, to make what we have available for the building of the kingdom of God, to offer ourselves to God and His purposes. Now, before you think, well, here we go, get out your checkbook, they're going to be asking for money for the next month, let me assure you that that is not what we're going to be doing for the next 4 weeks. Now, financial support of the local church and of the general church and missions and community programs is certainly important, even crucial to their continued well-being. It takes money to do things, that's for sure. The church could not exist without financial support, but financial support of the church and the activities of the kingdom is only one facet of a generous life, only one aspect of what it means to have the attitude of giving, of faithful stewardship, pervading one's being and embodying the way that we live our lives. And that's what we're going to be examining over the next 4 weeks, because generosity, abundant and unrestrained giving, is at the heart of what it means to be a Christian, to follow Jesus, to be godly, to be holy, to reflect the image of God, who from the very beginning gives to humanity. He gave the whole of creation and a purpose and companionship and all that we needed to us, but we were ungrateful. We saw what we lacked and were tempted by it and took it for ourselves, but God kept on giving. God kept on providing. God kept on calling His people to repentance and forgiveness and reconciliation, calling them to be thankful for His provision. And then, of course, in time, we know of that greatest gift that was given. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish. John 3:16, God gave. And God's giving was not parsimonious, not tight-fisted, not miserly, but generous, abundant, extravagant, amazing love. And can it be that God emptied Himself of all but love? And that's the same mind that Paul tells us that we should have in the kenosis hymn in Philippians 2. The same mind as Jesus, who emptied Himself out. And so we find in the teachings of Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain, but also running through all that Jesus teaches during His ministry, this idea that to seek the kingdom is about giving, is about letting go, relinquishing control, about depending on God, who provides us with blessings that we are to empty out to others, not hoarding, not holding on to things, but emptying out for others. Now, we certainly hear that sentiment in the second of the greatest commandments, as we heard about last week, that admonition from Jesus to love others as ourselves. And if you think about the way that we love ourselves, it occurs to me that even a person with terrible self-esteem, even someone who has a poor self-image, who might not admit that they love themselves, even such a person would still, if they are to stay alive, be driven to provide basic necessities for themselves, to give themselves certain things. Because above all, we care for ourselves. We make sure that we give ourselves what we need to survive. We breathe, we give ourselves air. We drink, we give ourselves water. We eat, we give ourselves food. We seek shelter, we give ourselves protection from the elements. And at the end of the day, we give ourselves a break. We rest. As much as it is within our power, we give ourselves the things we need, as well as many of the things we simply desire. Many of us give ourselves things we don't need at all, but we give to ourselves every minute of every day. And this is a very big part of what it means to love ourselves, to care for, to take care of, to give to. And now, consider that we are called to love others as ourselves, as part of the greatest commandment straight from the mouth of Jesus. And so giving is fundamental to what it means to follow Jesus, to be a part of the kingdom of God. And there are many things that we can give when we are following God's example, when we are seeking to have the same mind as Christ. When we live a generous life, we've already mentioned the most obvious one. We can give of our resources. We can give financial support to the work of the kingdom. But as we said, that's only one way to give. That's only one thing we can give. And over the next 4 weeks, we are going to think about some other ways to give, some other things we can give. And today we're going to start with a kind of giving that I believe is essential, is fundamental to living a generous life, and that is giving thanks. You know, humanity has had a problem with giving thanks, with being grateful, with expressing our gratitude, with appreciating what has been provided for them since the beginning. We all know the story of how, even though they were placed into a garden that was abundant with everything they could possibly need, Adam and Eve were tempted by what they didn't have, by what they lacked. They looked at the abundance around them and said, "This is not enough. We want more. We want what we don't have, what we were told we shouldn't have." They looked at abundance and saw scarcity. They were not satisfied, nor did they appreciate God's provision for them, which they had done nothing to deserve. And so we could say that human nature has a tendency toward ungratefulness. We've had a tendency toward ungratefulness for a very long time. We often forget to show gratitude. And so we need to be reminded every now and then that it is important to give thanks, to be thankful. And that's what the Apostle Paul is reminding the church about in the 5th chapter of the Epistle to the Thessalonians. And that's where we find the scripture for today. Now, sometimes Paul writes a letter to the church in Corinth or Ephesus, for example, and in that letter he needs to address a problem that has arisen, sometimes more than one problem. And Paul might need to let the church know that they need to stop doing something like judging each other or celebrating the Lord's Supper without certain people. Or maybe they've misunderstood something and he needs to set them straight, like the fact they're saved by grace and not by works, or how the gifts of the Spirit work. But for the most part, the first epistle to the church at Thessalonica is not that kind of corrective letter. Now, Paul, likely with help from Silvanus and Timothy, he writes 1 Thessalonians as a letter of encouragement. Its tone is warm and supportive, and there's some clarification about certain issues that have been raised, but In general, Paul is telling the church at Thessalonica, the capital of the Roman province of Macedonia in northern Greece, that they are doing a good job and they need to keep on doing what they're doing. Now that's what a church likes to hear, especially an early church that is trying to figure out, that is developing what it means to be a Christian church without previous precedents and models to look to. And it is a challenge and an exciting venture to do a new thing. And that is what the church at Thessalonica is part of. And Paul is letting them know that they are on the right track. And at the end of his letter, in his concluding remarks, Paul leaves his audience with some final exhortations, some suggestions, some admonitions, a to-do list of things to pay attention to. Now we find these in verses 12 through 22 of chapter 5. Paul tells the church to respect those who are doing the Lord's work among them, to get along peacefully, and to admonish the idlers. Now that's some good advice right there. Let folks who aren't pulling their weight or working to, or contributing to the mission of the kingdom, let them know that they need to pitch in. But Paul says to be patient with them and to help the weak and the faint-hearted. He also says not to seek revenge, to avoid evil, to be led by the Spirit, not to extinguish the Spirit's power, that sort of thing. Kinds of things Paul might want to make sure that a young church keeps in the forefront of their minds so they don't veer off course. But I want us to look at a single sentence that sits sort of in the middle of these exhortations in verses 16 through 18. Paul writes, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And I'd like for us this morning to consider just a few observations about this one sentence that Paul writes to this church, because I believe there's not just a message for the early church at Thessalonica here, but there's a message for the Church of the Nazarene in large and all the believers who are a part of it and who are connected to our church family. I believe God has something to say to each and every one of us this morning, something life-changing, something that can transform the very nature of our being if we'll let it, something that can transform the way we think and act and live. So the first point I want to make about these verses 16, 17, and 18 is this. They go together. They are one sentence. They're not independent thoughts, nor are they independent commands. They are interrelated. They're one sentence. They rely upon each other and follow from each other. And Paul tells us of these three commands, this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. What's the will of God in Christ Jesus for you? This. These three. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. You know, in his explanatory notes on the scriptures, John Wesley says of these three commands that this is Christian perfection. Farther than this, we cannot go, and we need not stop short of it. Wesley says that these three commands are holiness, Christian perfection. They represent the fullest extent of what it means to be holy, to be perfect, to be sanctified. And Wesley says we can live like this, and we need not settle for less than this. So the next time someone asks you, what's this Nazarene talk about Wesleyan holiness and Christian perfection? What does that mean? You can direct them to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, and you can tell them, John Wesley said, "This is Christian perfection." Now, Wesley explains that praying without ceasing is the fruit of rejoicing in the Lord, and that giving thanks in every situation is the fruit of praying without ceasing. And taken together, these three describe a life that is wholly given over to the direction of the Holy Spirit, so that one is always in a position of prayer, continuously communicating with and listening to God. And that enables us to give thanks in everything, in every situation, because we are constantly in His watch care and guided every moment of every day to walk in the steps of Jesus, to follow the path that He has laid out for us. And in that path, we can enjoy the assurance that where we are, whatever our situation, whatever we have or don't have, whatever trials or triumphs we face, we can rejoice because we know that we are right where God wants us to be. That is Christian perfection. That is holiness. That is sanctification. And now I want to look specifically at that command about giving thanks. Now, those two words in English, give thanks, they are only one word in the original Greek. Now, you didn't think I was going to get through this sermon without at least one reference to the original Greek, did you? Now, the word that's translated as give thanks there is eucharisteo. And you will no doubt recognize the English word Eucharist right there in that word. When we take Holy Communion, when we celebrate the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, the liturgy contains the words, "On the night He was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it." When He had given thanks, Eucharisteo. So we call the Lord's Supper the Eucharist. Now this word, Eucharisteo, that's a verb, and so Paul is using it to give a command. Give thanks. But an interesting thing about the word Eucharisteo is that it not only means give thanks, but it also means be thankful. And so, while in English we'd have to choose one or the other of those commands, or use both of them, give thanks and be thankful, in the Greek, with just one word, Eucharisteo, Paul can say both at the same time. Give thanks and be thankful, Eucharisteo. And so, I think when we read the give thanks in English, we miss out on the other half of that command. And I don't think this is merely a semantic detail, because I think it's important. I think Paul is telling us that it's important both to be thankful and to give thanks. Because we can give thanks without being thankful, and we can be thankful without giving thanks. You can do one without the other. Anyone who's ever heard somebody sarcastically say, "Thanks so much for all your help." Maybe you've said it. Maybe you said it to a customer service representative when you called some company on the telephone. Maybe because your internet went out or your power bill was incorrect. You can say, "Thank you." You can give thanks without actually being thankful. How many thank you cards are sent out each year for gifts that people really don't appreciate? Anyone can say the words or write them or even give a gift that's supposed to be a symbol of gratitude without really meaning it. But God knows our hearts. So this is a reminder against mere lip service that doesn't correspond to what's in our hearts. And so Paul says, Eucharisteo, give thanks and be thankful. And you can be thankful without giving thanks. You can hold your tongue But as any kid who's ever said at the dinner table, I don't need to say grace, God knows I'm thankful, knows, because our parents told us, you need to say it. That's what Paul is telling us here. Express your gratitude. If you're thankful, say it. Give voice to your gratefulness. Tell God that you're thankful for his provision. And the same goes for people too. If you appreciate someone, if you're thankful for their presence in your life, tell them. Don't wait. A lot of people have gone to the funerals of people they loved and appreciated and wondered if they really knew how thankful they were for the things they did and said. Sometimes we wait too late. If you're thankful, tell people. Tell God about it. Be thankful and give thanks. Eucharisteo. Now, that word, Eucharisteo, not only does it mean both be thankful and give thanks, but it has another characteristic that makes it unusual and significant. Even though the word Eucharisteo means give thanks and be thankful, it is made up of two other words that mean something else entirely. First, there's the EU, the U at the beginning, and that means good. We hear that prefix in English words like euphemism and euphoria and euthanasia. And then secondly, there's charis. We see that word in English in words like charisma and charismatic, and it means grace, the unmerited favor and blessing of God. So we have Eucharis, good grace. And so not only does Eucharisteo literally mean be thankful and give thanks, but it's made up of the very thing that we are to be thankful for. God's good grace, his unmerited favor toward humanity, that undeserved blessing not only of all creation and the promise to provide and watch over his children, but also that ultimate gift of which we are entirely unworthy and undeserving, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when Paul says, Eucharisteo, we are reminded to give thanks and to be thankful for God's good grace. And because God's grace is good, because his provision is beneficial, because his resources are unlimited and his generosity knows no limit, we can give thanks not only when life is pleasant and comfortable, but also when times are hard, when things get uncomfortable, when the storms arise, when we are suffering, when sorrows like sea billows roll. In all circumstances, give thanks for God's good grace in all circumstances. This means give thanks not only for what you have, but give thanks also for what you don't have. Give thanks for what you have been blessed with and what you have been blessed without. For the people around you and the people who are not around you. Give thanks even for those who are around you that you have to deal with each day and maybe you'd rather not deal with. Those folks who try your patience, who get on your last nerve, give thanks for them just as you give thanks for the folks who encourage you, who build you up, who make you feel glad to be alive. Give thanks for the plans that unfold like clockwork, when things just seem to fall into place, when your day goes smoothly and efficiently, and give thanks when it doesn't. When nothing works like it should, when time gets wasted, when detours are necessary, when we have to wait even though we are eager and ready to make things happen, when a pandemic brings the whole world to a screeching halt, give thanks. This is Antonis Mavropoulos. He is a scientist, and this image is from a recent video of a lecture that he gave about disposing of healthcare waste in ways that prevent COVID infection and are sustainable and protect the planet, the people, wildlife in it. And he has been a major contributor to thinking and action around ways to manage waste during the pandemic. He is the head of the nonprofit ISWA, the International Solid Waste Association. Now, that's an organization that works toward what it calls a wasteless future, a future in which the world practices good stewardship of creation and doesn't exploit or destroy it. Now, his work during the pandemic has undoubtedly saved countless lives and prevented the spread of the virus. He's a very smart guy with a vision and a mission, and it has been a very good thing that he's been around during the last year or so. But in March 2019, Antonis was traveling from his home in Athens, Greece, to the United Nations Environment Assembly in Nairobi. Now, to get to Nairobi, Antonis had to catch a connecting flight in Ethiopia. And his flight landed in Ethiopia at 7:40 a.m., and Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302 to Nairobi left 35 minutes later. It would be a tight connection, but not impossible. Now, the conference in Nairobi was important. It was a United Nations Environment Assembly meeting. Now, they are the world's highest level decision-making body on the environment, with all 193 member states contributing. And at their meetings, they set priorities for global environmental policies, and they develop international environmental law. Their decisions matter and have lasting effects on the whole world. So it wasn't surprising that Antonis was the first person off the plane when he landed in Ethiopia. To save time and make sure he got to the conference as early as possible, Antonis had not even checked a suitcase. Now, there was supposed to be an airline representative to meet him and make sure he got to the next gate for his departing flight, but Antonis couldn't find him, and he knew he had to hurry, so Antonis ran. Figuring out as he ran where the terminal and the gate he needed to leave from was, he had his boarding pass in hand. Flight 302, seat 2L, gate 12, boarding gate will be closed at 8 o'clock. Departure time, 8:15. Frantically, Antonis ran. He had to find that gate. Now, Antonis didn't know it, but if he had checked a suitcase, the plane would have waited to be loaded, and he might have had a few extra minutes to get to that gate. But finally, at 8:02, out of breath, but hopeful, Antonis arrived at gate 12. Boarding had closed at 8 o'clock. He was 2 minutes late. And through the windows of the wall, he could see the passengers boarding the plane, and he pleaded with the airline staff to let him board the plane. He was not on vacation. He wasn't on some holiday. He was on his way to the United Nations Assembly on the Environment. He had meetings to attend. This was important. But his protests were of no avail. He would have to catch the next flight to Nairobi, 3 hours later. So Antonis waited and fretted and fumed and lamented his situation. He was mad and feeling sorry for himself. And almost 3 hours later, Antonis was still angry and put out at the nerve of those airline employees who just couldn't see how important he was and how important his meeting was and how important it was that he be on flight 302 to Nairobi. And about that time, two security guards approached Antonis and they asked him to come with them to the airport's police station. What? Antonis thought, I'm angry and disappointed, but I wasn't being overly disruptive. Why are you doing this? I've already missed my flight and I have a very important meeting. Antonis began to get even more upset. The security guards explained to him that they needed to know who he was and why he had missed his flight. And Antonis told them, but he was still annoyed by the situation and he let them know about it. That was when one of the security guards said, you should stop complaining and start thanking God instead. Flight 302 crashed 6 minutes after takeoff, killing all 157 people on board. There had been 149 passengers on Flight 302. Antonis would have made 150. But seat 2L was empty. Antonis suddenly realized that he should call his family and let them know that he had missed his flight. Surely, Antonis learned that day, and we should all remember as well, to give thanks for the inconveniences, for the misfortunes, for the adversities, because the truth is, we don't know the miraculous details of how all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and have been called according to His purpose. Give thanks in all circumstances, in feast or famine, in trials and in triumph, in celebration and in lamentation. God's grace and goodness, His peace and provision will never leave us nor forsake us. And so we give thanks in all circumstances. With God's help, we can do just that. As we yield to the direction of the Holy Spirit, we can live a holy, sanctified life. And Paul's words are just as relevant to the church today as they were for the church in the first century. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Give thanks for the good days. When the traffic lights all turn green, when promotions come and bad habits are broken. Give thanks for warm meals and the company of friends. Give thanks for undeniable blessings and clear direction. When the music floods your soul and the worship songs flow without effort. Give thanks for coffee and clothing and hope that the two never mix. Give thanks for the mother who battles daily in prayer. For the father working 3 jobs. For the brothers and sisters who build blanket forts and read bedtime stories. Give thanks for sons and daughters and all our family who remind us of what truly matters. Give thanks for the stranger who holds the door open and the lifelong friend who holds you when life is broken. Give thanks for the hard days, for the phone call that brings life crashing down, for jobs lost and friendships fallen into conflict. Give thanks for the anger that reminds us we are human and the tears that express more than words could ever fathom. Give thanks Though the pain is overwhelming, your energy spent, your spirit fallen, and your only option is to fall to your knees before your Holy Father and cry out, God, please help me. For in that moment, His power is made perfect. His love is made evident. He becomes your strength, your comfort, and your salvation. Give thanks for the power of redemption, from Genesis to Revelation, for the endless promises of a God who would rather sacrifice His Son than give up on His children. For nail-pierced hands, for brilliant dawns, for the cool touch of rain and the simplicity of a quiet day. For all things great and small, let us give thanks.
May the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do this.
Praise God from whom blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God from creatures here.